Okay, today is August 21st, 2013. We're here at United Orthodox Synagogues, and we are in our class on the Eliyahu narratives, episodes in the life of Eliyahu HaNavi. And we find ourselves in the book of Melachim Aleph, chapter 18. And now, finally, Eliyahu HaNavi is on his way for his showdown with Ahav. The meeting with Ahav, after God prompted Eliyahu to do this, he is now going to go meet Ahav. And on the way, as we mentioned last class, he meets Ovadyahu. Ovadyahu is working for Ahav, which is something we're going to discuss as well, why Ovadyahu was working for Ahav, and how that impacts the conversation that Eliyahu has with Ovadyahu on the way. On the way to go to Ahav. So we encounter Ovadyahu, who's a little concerned about the meeting that Ahav, I'm sorry, that Eliyahu proposes. Let's start with the verse 7. Vayehi Ovadyahu baderech v'nei Eliyahu likrato vayakirehu vayipol al panav. So Ovadyahu was on the way, and if you remember from the previous class, Ahav had sent him out to try to go find some water or grass to feed the animals. And he's on his way, and Eliyahu is also on his way, and he says, "Vayomer ze Adoni Eliyahu, is this you, Eliyahu?" We're going to get back to this phrase in a minute because it repeats itself in an interesting manner. Vayomer lo ani lechemor la'adonecha hinei Eliyahu. He says, "Yes, it is I. Go tell your master Ahav that I'm coming." And this is where Ovadyahu gets concerned. He says, "Vayomer ma chatati ki ata noten et avdecha biyad Ahav lahamiteni. What sin have I done that you have given me into the hands of Ahav to kill me?" And so here, what Ovadyahu is concerned with is that, well, the question is, why is Ovadyahu concerned? Why does he think that Ahav is going to kill him? So it could be that he thinks that Ahav is going to kill him because Ahav could have said, you know, maybe you had Eliyahu in your grips, right? In your sights. Why didn't you capture him before you let him go? Either maybe Ahav perhaps would think that either Ovadyahu was negligent and didn't and was not serving his master properly, or that he intentionally refrained from capturing Eliyahu as a way to honor him. Ahav doesn't know, right, that Ovadyahu is really a good guy. All Ahav knows is that Ovadyahu is working for him. So maybe he suspects that he's not doing all that he could in order to carry out the request or the duty due to him vis-a-vis Ahav. So Ovadyahu is concerned that Ahav is going to kill him. And then we continue reading. And here Eliyahu perhaps has a veiled comment on Ahav. He says, "Chai Hashem Elokecha, im yesh goy mamlacha asher lo shalach Adoni sham levakshecha, v'imru ayin." Right? He says, first Ovadyahu says, "We've been looking all over for you," which is one of the reasons why maybe he thinks Ahav is going to be upset if he doesn't finally catch him. "We're looking all over you, and now if I tell him that you're here, he's gonna kill me." So then Eliyahu's response is as follows: "Halohu gad la Adoni." Let's go back to where Eliyahu starts the conversation. Eliyahu says, back to verse 8. This is a key point. "Vayomer lo ani lechemor la Adonecha hine Eliyahu." Go tell your master that Eliyahu is coming. So first of all, some of the commentaries point out that it's interesting that Eliyahu will simply not use his name. Right? The master is Ahav, the bad guy in the story, And instead of Eliyahu using his name and saying, go tell Achav that I'm coming, he says, go tell your master I'm coming. So it could be that it's a sign of disrespect, like he's trying to show, I don't really care that much about him. It's a sign of disrespect, but, you know, not using his name. But others have suggested that the use of the word Adonecha here, besides being a sign of disrespect that he's not using his name, it's also a veiled comment on Ovadyahu. Ovadyahu, as we know, is working for Achav. And it could be that Eliyahu is saying, go to your master, meaning you bow down on your face to me, and you know that I'm Eliyahu, and you seem to be allied with me, but I know that your real master is Eliyahu. Meaning you're playing both sides of the fence, Ovadyahu. On the one hand, you're showing respect to me, and on the other hand, you're hedging your bets and you're working for Achav. Maybe you're just hoping to play both sides of the fence, and that whoever wins, you're going to be on the good graces of the side of whoever wins.
Why in the verse before that it says he recognizes him, but he did, he said, is that you,
Eliyahu? Ah, that's a very good question. That's a great question. So some of the commentaries say that, in fact, he did recognize him. Is that you, Eliyahu? What he's saying is, well, you know what? Let's compare that, okay, and then you'll answer the question. If you look at verse 17, this is when they fought, when Achav finally sees Eliyahu. What does he say? Verse 17, "Vayhi chirot Achav et Eliyahu, vayomer Achav elav ha'ata ze ocher Yisrael." Is that you, O troubler of Israel? If you notice, ha'ata ze is the same language, the same phrase that Ovadyahu uses to say to Eliyahu, is that you, is the exact language that Achav uses to say, is that you. The difference is that Achav says, is that you, O troubler of Israel. So some of the commentaries suggest that that is what Ovadyahu is getting at also. He just leaves out that last phrase, meaning, where have you been?
So it's an insult.
It's an insult. It's a little bit of an insult. Where have you been? We're starving. We're dying of this drought. And all of a sudden now you're showing up. It's like sarcastic. And so it could be, it could be that that is going on. Okay. And then, so Eliyahu says, well, you're working for two masters. So go to your master. Right? Maybe you want it to look like I'm your master or that God is your master, but we know your real master is Achav. And then this is when Ovadyahu launches into his whole protest against the way he's being treated, or at least the way there's some insinuation in Eliyahu's phraseology. Remember, instead of using the word Achav, he uses your master. And he says, what do you want from my life? Right? If you send me back to Achav, he's going to kill me. Second of all, you're questioning my loyalty. You have to remember, I'm the one who kept these hundred prophets alive. Remember, we mentioned a few times that Izebel, Achav's wife, killed all the prophets of Israel, all the ones who were loyal to Hashem, except for 100 of them. 50 of them were in one cave, and 50 of them were in another cave. And the only way they were getting food and water was because this guy, Ovadyahu, was bringing them food and water. So he's saying to Eliyahu, are you really questioning my loyalty? The only reason these people are alive is because of me. And furthermore, if you send me back to Achav and make me tell him that you're here and he kills me, what's going to happen to those 100 people? There's not going to be anyone left to feed them. So you better not do that to me. First of all, obviously, I've proven my loyalty to Hashem by keeping alive these 100 prophets. And second of all, if you do anything to put my life at risk, then their life is going to be at risk. So that is sort of the speech that Ovadyahu gives to Eliyahu. And Eliyahu is convinced, right? What does Eliyahu say right after that? He says in verse 15, Vayomer Eliyahu chai Hashem tzivaot asher amati lefanav ki hayom hazeh eira eh. A love. He says, as the Lord host lives, whom I serve, I will appear before him this very day. Don't worry. You're not going to have to make any claims that I run away. You're not going to have to justify that I sort of made a quick appearance and left. I'm going to appear before Ahav that very day. Okay, so that's a little bit about what is going on here now. Okay, let's keep going now. So he says now in verse 16, Vayelech Ovadyahu likrat Ahav, Vayaged lo, Vayelech Ahav likrat Eliyahu. So Ovadyahu goes to tell Ahav, and in fact he tells him that he's there. Ovadyahu went to find Ahav and informed him, and Ahav then goes out to meet Eliyahu. Vayelech Ahav likrat Eliyahu. So Rabbi Samet notes here that this is very interesting. First of all, Ahav goes to meet Eliyahu. In the first time they met, when Eliyahu came to Ahav to tell him there's going to be a drought, it was Eliyahu who initiated the meeting, and Eliyahu went to him. Here Ahav goes to him. Not only does he go to him, he walks to him. Right? He doesn't get on a chariot, doesn't get on a horse, doesn't have anyone carry him. Right? He's the king, but he goes in a very humble way.
I knew he walked. I'd say
that. It says Vayelech. Now, Vayelech, in our translation, is... Where are we?
16.
Went to meet Eliyahu. So the commentaries are reading a very close reading. Vayelech, literally, he walked, okay, instead of to went. It's a very close reading, but it's interesting because even if Vayelech means went, he still went alone. There's no indication that he took any entourage with him, which is what we would expect to happen, that a king was going out to meet someone, especially someone who is as hated as Eliyahu. On the other hand, you could argue he goes out to him alone without his entourage to show him the same disrespect that Eliyahu was showing him. Eliyahu won't call him by his name, and because Eliyahu hates him and doesn't have respect for him. And Ahav, the feeling was mutual towards Eliyahu, so he doesn't even honor him at all, and therefore he goes out alone. Like, it's not an important meeting at all.
Him, why would a king belittle himself to go out to meet someone?
So, that's why I said earlier, he's belittling himself because he's beaten.
Okay,
he's beaten here. Right,
okay.
Right. And what does he say? Vayhi kirot Ahav et Eliyahu, vayomer Ahav elav, ha'ata ze ocher Yisrael, is that you, the troubler of Israel? Now, what's interesting here is, like I mentioned before, Eliyahu does not use Ahav's name, and Ahav will not use Eliyahu's name here either. It's sort of like a little contest. All right, they're not willing to give each other the dignity of using anyone's name. So,
did they start insulting each other?
Well, Eliyahu doesn't insult him when he talks to Ovadyahu. He just says, "Go tell your master I'm going to be there." But here, yes, here Ahav does in fact insult Eliyahu, and Eliyahu does not really take it personally. He just sort of responds back with the way he sees the facts. But before we look at his response, I want to point out a very interesting explanation about the use of this word, troubler of Israel, which is translated as troubler of Israel. In Hebrew, is ocher Yisrael. What does ocher mean? So ocher is translated here as troubler of Israel, but it's used a few other times in Tanakh, very rarely. But one of the times it's used is in Divrei HaYamim, when the story of Achan is being retold. The story of Achan is from the book of Yehoshua, chapter 7, when there was a battle and the Jewish people were told not to take any of the spoils of war. And Achan takes the spoils of war, and it leads to a tremendous amount of death. It leads to the death of 37,000 people.
The spoils, was that the people or was that the material?
The stuff, okay. The material.
But they killed everybody still.
Yeah. The person who takes the stuff is Achan.
Okay.
That's his name. He was the son of Carmi. But in Divrei HaYamim, which is on some level sort of a review of events that took place in the Torah, the pasuk says as follows. Actually, we could look at it inside. All the way in the back. Divrei Hayamim, chapter 1. No, Divrei Hayamim 1, chapter 2, verse 7. So this is on page
1,893.
Chapter 2, verse 7? Yeah, so, Uvenei Karmi, Achar, Ocher Yisrael, that same term, right?
Israel.
The sons of Carmi, Achar, the troubler of Israel, Asher Ma'al Bacherem, who committed trespass against the proscribed things, against the spoils of war. But what the commentaries are troubled by is his name in the book of Joshua, where the event actually happens, is Achan. But here, his name is recorded as Achar. So why? Why change the name? So Rashi says it, as Rashi explains as follows. Rashi says, in explaining this, V'lama ani koro acher, why is he called Achar here? V'lo Achan Shemo, after all his name is Achan. L'fi shehu Achar et Yisrael, because he troubled Israel, Sha'avar al hacherem, v'naflu al yado lamed vav elef ish. Because he took the spoils of war, and because of him, 37,000 people died. So if you want to do this comparison of language, the fact that Achav calls Eliyahu Ocher Yisrael here is interesting. And let me read to you what Rabbi Samet says. Rabbi Samet says something fascinating. He says as follows: what is the meaning of the inescapable comparison to the deed of Achav from Joshua 7, where Acham is described as repeatedly as having troubled Israel? It would seem that what Achav means to say is that, like Achan, Eliyahu too has brought catastrophe upon his nation out of personal interests. Right? Why did Achan? Achan took the spoils of war for personal gain, and he brought about the death of tens of thousands of people. And so Achav is saying, you're no better, Eliyahu. You're selfish.
Because he calls
exactly. Band. It is specifically this emphasis on the human independence of Eliyahu's oath. Remember, one of the first classes we talked about, we spent some time on this, is what's the nature of this vow that Eliyahu has that there's not going to be rain until he says so? And it's that many commentaries say that God did not tell Eliyahu to be this harsh, but he gave him, once he decided to be that harsh on his own, God sort of followed up.
But what did he get from? He didn't gain from this personally, like spoils of war.
But the way Rabbi Salmon is explaining it is as follows: it is specifically this emphasis on the human independence of the oath, the pretension of complete control over the rainfall, except by my word, followed by the prophet's mysterious disappearance while his nation collapses with weakness from the severe famine in Shomron, that lead Achav to accuse him of troubling Israel, i.e. as someone who insists on his view being upheld at any price for the sake of preserving his own pride and honor. So Achav is saying this wasn't about necessarily monetary gain, but this is about his pride and his honor, even at the expense of the national disaster that is thereby brought upon his nation. So even after Eliyahu sees the terrible events of the famine that he calls for and the circumstances that it causes, he's still not willing to give in at all, and therefore he calls the same word. He calls him the same word. I think it's a fascinating play on the terminology between the two. Anyway, Eliyahu does not respond to the rebuke. He doesn't respond when it's presented by Avodyahu, who says, "Atahu, are you the same person?" Which you picked up on, Eddie, that maybe that's also a veiled insult. And nor does he really reply here, except for saying, now we're back in the text on 18, he says, Vayomer lo acharti et Yisrael. I didn't do this. Ki im ata uveit avicha, you and your father's house. His father was king too, and that was also bad news. Ba'az v'chem et mitzvot Hashem, because you abandoned the mitzvot of Hashem, but telech acharei ha-ba'alim, and you followed the ba'alim, the avodah zarah of the day.
This is why Elijah was doing the famine because the people, not him personally, but the people.
Right, but he was the leader. He set up Avodah Zarah. He was an enabler for that as well. So he says, now he's going to set up the showdown. V'yata shalach kivotz Eli et kol Yisrael al har Carmel. Go and gather for me, meaning I want you to tell everyone that I'm calling this. Eli, right? The translation is, V'yata shalach kivotz Eli. Now summon all Israel to join me. It's like I'm the one who's sending out the invitation. At har Carmel. And I also want V'yet nivyei ha-Baal arba'meot, 400 of the false prophets of Baal, V'chamishim nivyei ha-Asherah, and 50 prophets of another Avodah Zarah. Arba'meot v'chamishim, 450. Univyei ha-Asherah arba'meot, 400 of the others. Ochle shulchani zevel, the ones who are fed from the table of Izebel. I mean, Izebel is the one who's the evil queen, and she's the one who is supporting... She's supporting all these prophets. So now he calls for...
Are they prophets or are they false prophets?
They're false prophets. They're acting as prophets. They're doing things that prophets do. They tell people how to act religiously and how to act in their lives, but they're obviously telling them to do the wrong things. Okay, so that's sort of what's going on here. I mentioned that he doesn't go with an entourage. He doesn't go with any the trappings of the royalty to meet him. He's sort of downcast, and he realizes he's losing the battle here against...
How long has the famine going on by now? 3 years?
It's years. It's at least 2 years. Because we said each episode of Eliyahu was a year. Okay. The episode in the Wadi, and this was a year. And they are in big trouble. Okay, just a few more interesting points before we call it a day. There's the meeting. Rabbi Samet calls attention to the difference between the meeting that Eliyahu has here with Ahav and the meeting that Eliyahu has to begin with Ahav. So first he points out there's an inversion of roles. In the original meeting, where our whole story begins, Eliyahu appears to be the one who initiated the meeting with Ahav. But here we see Vayelech Ahav. Ahav goes to greet him. Even though he goes to greet him on the invitation, if you will, of Eliyahu, and Ovadyahu tells him that he's there, the fact that he goes to see, at least to meet halfway, Eliyahu, is very different than what happened before, because before Ahab is sitting high and mighty, and
Ahab's in charge. Then now Eliyahu is in charge.
Right, exactly. So there's sort of an inversion of roles here. We know that God sent Ahab. I'm sorry, we know that God sent Eliyahu, but Ahab doesn't know that God sent Eliyahu. So from his perspective, him going to greet, he's the one who's going to greet Eliyahu, and that sort of indicates that he's a beaten man. Also, we see from a certain perspective in the second meeting, the king and the second has this sort of a delayed reaction to Eliyahu's oath, right? Meaning when Eliyahu made the oath to Ahav that there's not going to be any rain, Ahav just doesn't say anything. But here, Ahav is like, he explodes. And he says, "Is that you, Ocher Yisrael?" It's a delayed reaction. What's also interesting, just to, one final point, we said before that Vayelech Ahav indicates that Ahav is going with a sense of humility, that he's been beaten. But if he's truly going with a sense of humility that he's been beaten, then he steps out of that character when he calls him Ocher Yisrael, because that's not, when he calls him a troubler of Israel, that's not very humble. Now that seems to be a little bit more... a little bit more aggressive.
But the next sentence and the next verse, he immediately does what Eliyahu says to do. He gathers all the people.
Right, because he doesn't really...
He has to do it.
So Rabbi Samet notes that even though it's true in his view that Ahav went as a downtrodden and beaten and beleaguered king, once he actually sees Ahav, Eliyahu, right? Look at the verse 17. By he... On his way, he's going, he's humbled, he's walking without his entourage, he's not on a horse, he's going on his own. He's feeling this sense of being a beaten person. And then, but when he sees him, that he can't control himself anymore. He sees the person who's responsible for all the suffering. It's the difference between thinking about something in the abstract and actually seeing it or doing it. So in the abstract, he doesn't see Eliyahu, and therefore he is humble and beaten. But then when he actually sees the person who's responsible for all these troubles, he can't help himself anymore, and he says, Ha'atazeh Ocher Yisrael. He sort of jumps out of that character back into his original character of being the stubborn king. But as you noted, Eddie, correctly, he quickly jumps back into the obedient one because he agrees and he does exactly what Eliyahu tells him to do, either because he thinks that this showdown will prove him right, or he just wants to get the whole thing over with, so he realizes he has to listen to Eliyahu. So what we have next to do is to look at the actual events of the showdown at Carmel, which is going to be next. Okay, Yasher Koach.
Very good. Is that?